psychotherapist and sex therapist and the author of the groundbreaking book on relationships for better, for worse, forever, discover the path to lasting love. I am also the advice columnist for Dan's papers in the Hamptons and Palm Beach, and for the Winnipeg Jewish News and Post. And it's so interesting. Somebody had asked me, what are you, the Winnipeg Jewish Post? Well, as many of you may have heard over the years, I actually grew up and was born in Winnipeg, Canada. So it is really, it's an honor for me to be able to have an advice column in my hometown paper. What else do I do with my spare time? Well, I am an expert guest on national radio and television. And I also have a private practice in New York City and East Hampton. And recently, I've been doing some consulting at East Hampton High School, and it is so great to be able to go into the classrooms and talk with teens about their issues, their concerns, the things that they really, I think, oftentimes don't have an opportunity to discuss with anyone. And I am partnering with a really amazing teacher, Jim Stewart, who has been the health educator at East Hampton High School for over 44 years. And one of the things that I'm so impressed about with Jim and also with East Hampton High School is that they really care and really focus on students' mental health issues. And naturally, more and more schools around the country really need to be doing the same. So a lot of people ask me when they hear that I host the Ask Beattie show, they ask me, so what is your show really all about? Well, of course, we talk about mental health issues and sexuality and relationships. But in a nutshell, it's really about empowerment. It's what do we all have to actually do, not just think about, not just wish, not just hope for, but what are the things that we actually have to do to improve the quality of our lives and our relationships? It's not easy. It's not easy these days, especially there's been so much downsizing in the corporate world. And I've been hearing more and more and more that people are very, very concerned about employment and about the possibility of really losing their jobs. But I have a mantra, and it's a mantra that I have tried to really incorporate into my own life and into my private practices as well. And that is this, that we need to all be willing, even though perhaps we're not feeling like doing anything about what's going on or not going on in our lives, but we need to be willing to acknowledge and address and resolve as best as we can the things that continue to get in the way of our lives. Because it's so easy for all of us to just kind of go around in circles. We're not feeling right. We're not happy with our relationships. Our depression, our anxiety doesn't seem to be really easing up at all. And yet months and years, and for many people, even a lifetime can go by without our being able to really live our life joyfully and happily. And of course, there's always going to be issues. There is no one in the world who is able to live this charmed, in quotes, perfect life. But again, it's really our determination and our motivation, our self-motivation to be willing to tackle things that are really, really not working, which is why every single week I have my How Are You Doing segment. And the real question is, you know, are you living your life in ways that are in your best interest? You know, for example, your mental health. I mean, are you feeling that your depression and anxiety are really taking over your life, and you've been struggling. You've been struggling for months, perhaps even for years. And one of the things that I have really hoped that I have convinced you, or at least hopefully trying to convince you, is that we do not need to navigate the ups and downs of life on our own. And initially, when Dr. Gary Null and I, we talked about my doing the Ask Beattie show, and I've had many, many Ask Beattie shows on mainstream radio where they have all been call-in counseling talk shows. And I encourage you every single week, and of course, multiple times during this show, to call me with questions, with concerns. The number here is 888-874-4888. Because it's simply too difficult. It's too difficult to be dealing and to be navigating life's ups and downs on your own. And if you're lucky, you have friends and family and maybe colleagues that you can talk to. But I know that there are a lot of people who simply do not. And you do have an opportunity to email me. All my contact information is on my beattiecode.com. Website. And again, some little thing, hopefully, that I say every single week can give you some perspective, a better perspective, some relief about the issues that you are struggling with. So again, looking at mental health, if you are experiencing symptoms of depression or anxiety or suicidal thoughts, or gestures, the real question that I ask you is, are you willing to reach out and ask for help? And again, here on the show, you do have an opportunity. And I get a lot of questions from readers from my advice columns. And I really encourage you to write me. And obviously, I'm not going to be able to deal with all of your questions and all of your issues on the show, but I could have a segment easily every single week here on the Ask Beattie Show where I would take listeners' questions one by one and help you tackle some of the difficulties that you are having. And you can be sure that your difficulties are probably not unique, and that many people, many of us, share the same kinds of problems, the same kinds of issues, the same kinds of disappointments. So again, acknowledge, address, let's try to resolve as best as we can, even though we can't change our histories, the things that continue to get in the way of your lives and your relationships. And of course, looking at your relationships, and it's pivotal that we have people in our lives who really care about us and who we really care about. So, in evaluating your relationships, really, how are they going with your significant other? If you are lucky enough to have a loving significant other in your life, and what about your children, family, friends? Are these relationships mostly positive? And if they are not, have you tried to tackle the problems and the difficulties that exist in your relationships? Because again, I mean, we all go through so many different ups and downs, and it's not about getting rid of people, although clearly, if your relationships are toxic, that is definitely something that I recommend, that we never, ever, ever stay in unhealthy and toxic relationships. But since relationships go through so many different phases, if you're having problems with your partner or your children or your colleagues or your friends, are you really willing to sit down or shoot an email or a text and say, look, there's some things that I really want to talk with you about. And hopefully the person or persons are willing to sit down and try and resolve and try to discuss and try to negotiate and try to hear one another's concerns about what may be bothering you, the things that have hurt you, the things that have angered you, the things that have disappointed you. And unless we do this, we never bring the issues really up. And if we don't, and if we're not willing to talk about the things that are not working in our lives and are not working in our relationships, these things are never, ever then going to be able to be resolved. So I'm asking you, you know, are there people in your life right now that you need to have some conversations with? And the other thing too is that, you know, we tend so often to focus on things that aren't working. If you are lucky enough to have a lot of positive people or even some or even one positive person in your life, we need to reinforce those relationships. We need to express our appreciation and thank our partners, our children, our colleagues, our friends, and be able to say, I really appreciate you. I am really thankful that you are in my life. And I think it's very easy. We go about our daily business, and it's very, very easy to be criticizing people and to be negative about what people are doing or not doing that are really bothering or troubling us. But think about it. How often, when is the last time that you called up somebody or saw somebody in person or even on Zoom and said to them, I'm really thankful for you. I'm so happy that you're in my life. I value you. I value our relationship. I value our friendship. And this kind of positivity, believe me, we all need to be expressing these kinds of positive feelings. It's so easy to get caught in a very, very negative spiral. So today, maybe you do have some issues that you need to resolve with someone. So why not reach out to them and say, look, I care about you a lot, but there's some things that I'd really like to talk about. And with people who you love and people who you really care about, how about picking up the phone or texting or emailing and saying something like, I was just thinking about you, and I am so very, very glad that you are in my life. I think if most of us did a lot more of this, we would have a much, much happier and better quality of life, and certainly a happier and better quality of relationships. So in looking at how are you doing, we've talked about mental health and relationships and, of course, your jobs, and there has been a lot of concern about job instability with all the layoffs that we're reading about in the paper. It's really, really scary. So about your work, do you actually enjoy the work that you are doing? And it used to be years and years ago, you know, people would be at their jobs for a lifetime, and now there is a lot of change. And if you're finding that your job is not bringing you the kind of satisfaction, emotional, psychological, financial satisfaction, again, what are the plans? What are the plans that you can make to make some changes? Because when you think about it, you know how much time we spend at our job. So if things are not working, and I know that it's not easy to be, you know, making these kinds of changes, again, to be able to check out other possibilities. You know, another area that we oftentimes don't talk about, is substance abuse. And in both of my practices in New York City and East Hampton, I often ask not just about the alcohol or the drugs, but there are a lot of people who are overdosing at times with over-the-counter as well as prescription medication as a means of trying to ease the anxiety or ease the stress. So again, I'm asking you to be very, very, very honest with yourself. And if you're finding that you are abusing, whether it's drugs or alcohol or prescription or over-the-counter medications, again, I want you to be honest with yourself and be willing to acknowledge that these behaviors are behaviors that are really not in your best interest and that you are putting yourself at risk. And of course, the real question then is, what are you willing to do about it? Problem solution. I mean, problem solution is where we need to really focus our attentions because it's very, very easy to get stuck on the problems and spend again days and weeks and months and years without really being able to sit down and figure out a game plan, a new game plan that will take you out of, in quote, your comfort zone in terms of a zone that's really not working and that is really not in your best interest. And what about your physical health? Today is the first day of spring, even though it's a little chilly here in New York City. People, of course, are walking around. And it's important. It's really important that we keep ourselves in really good physical shape. So have you had a physical in the last year, including blood work? And just so that you know where you are at, because it's very, very easy to fool ourselves. And you've heard me mention over the years the importance that exercise has always been in my life. It is a great antidepressant, and it is also a great, great anti anxiety. And I know that yesterday was Sunday. And it was cold, and I didn't go out. And Jim and I, we recently were lucky enough. A friend of ours gave us his treadmill as a gift, a real professional treadmill. And I was just feeling really sort of tired and lazy. And I realized that for me to stay in a good place mentally and emotionally and physically, that I need to exercise every single day. So even though I didn't feel like that, I knew that that was going to be in my best interest. So yes, I did get on the treadmill, and yes, I did do my daily weights. And so often, if we are waiting for the feeling to do some of these things, that feeling may never really come to pass. So again, every single day, and this is what I ask patients to do, this is what I ask you to do, is to be able to monitor yourself as you go throughout your days and ask yourself really one question. Is this, whatever this is this in my best interest? Am I being good to myself? Is this, again, whatever this is this something that is good for me? And yes, we have to be very honest with ourselves. And if the thises are truly not, for the most part, things that are in your best interest, there needs to be a desire. There needs to be some motivation, which is what I hope that I do every single Monday afternoon here on the Ask Beatty Show to motivate you to pivot and to be able to make some constructive changes that are definitely going to be good for you. So in the whole area of self-care, you know, we're talking about taking care of ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually, and living a life of purpose. That's something that I am really curious about. Do you feel that you are living basically? We're not going to be able to do this every single day, and certainly not 24 hours a day, a life of purpose. And do you try and surround yourself? And this is something that we have to be very, very conscious about with loving and supportive people who help you, who help us appreciate the joys and mysteries of life. And have you learned, and of course, this is something that I go on and on and on about, have you learned to not engage, period, with toxic people, including family and friends, who will always, they will always hinder our being able to live a happy and joyful life. So how are you doing? Again, I've asked you all of the weekly questions, your mental health, your relationships, any possible substance abuse, your physical health. How do you rate yourself? Are you doing well? And have you made some changes in your life within the last week or the last month that you can actually see that you are on a better, more constructive, healthier, and happier path? And this is where I wish I could see all of you right now and talk to you and hear your reactions. And hopefully your answer is yes. And somebody asked me recently, why do I love to do the Ask Beanie Show? Well, in one word, it's because I want to motivate. I want to motivate and inspire all of you to be able to live your lives in ways that are really in your best interest. Well, talking about living your life in a way that is not in your best interest, I want to talk about infidelity. And I would say that the vast majority of people who contact me, particularly couples who contact me for therapy, are there because one or both have had an extramarital affair. So let me ask you this, okay? Just imagine you and your partner, you're in a committed relationship, or so you thought. You love your partner and your life together. Your partner's, let's imagine the law practice is thriving. Your children are happy and healthy. You've recently been chosen to head up a major fundraiser for underprivileged children. Life is looking really, really, really good. And then by chance, you discover titillating emails sent by your husband. In this case, this was actually a letter that I received from a reader. From the East Hampton Dan's papers. So you discover that your husband has been having an affair with his longtime secretary, who is also married, and she is the mother of two preschool age children. Here you're going along, you're thinking your life is great, you're experiencing happiness. And you've thought about this. The four of you routinely socialize, and you and the secretary frequently share confidences. So, what is going on? Your head is spinning. You're in a state of shock. Your wonderful, secure life is unraveling right before your eyes. Can you relate to this? I hope that you cannot relate to this, but again, infidelity statistics are very, very high. What to do? You call your husband and tell him to come home immediately. His first question to you is whether something happened to one of your children. You tell him that the children are fine, but that you are not. And he agrees to come home early. So let's take a look at the infidelity statistics in the United States. And these statistics may or they may not surprise you. Did you know that in the United States, studies show that between 25 to 60%, and that's a big range, of Americans cheat on their spouses? Male respondents, and this is an interesting number, male respondents in the 51 to 59 age group have the highest infidelity rate at 31%, and 16% of women in their 60s reported infidelity, the highest rate among female respondents. And it is estimated that 10% of affairs start online, and 40% of online affairs turn into real life affairs. And although cheating, as we once knew, was once considered primarily a male activity, the incidence of women cheating has continued to climb. And as a psychotherapist and sex therapist with, as you know, over 35 years of clinical experience, I've treated thousands of men and women, both individually and in couples therapy, and have discovered the primary reasons why people choose to engage in extramarital. Okay, what are some of these reasons? Well, number one, marital dissatisfaction. Okay, the couple, they aren't working. And instead of being willing to sit down and try and resolve, acknowledge, address, and resolve their issues, and if they're not getting anywhere on their own, be willing to reach out and ask for marriage counseling or couples counseling. The people who I know and the people who I've treated who've gone out and who have had extramarital affairs are people who have typically not dealt with their marital dissatisfaction before making the decision. And it is a decision to have an extramarital affair. So, marital dissatisfaction, number one. Sexual dissatisfaction. Again, we're having conversations in our families and in our relationships about all kinds of subjects. We talk about politics, we talk about problems at work. And yet, when there are intimate problems, marital problems, sexual problems, people tend very frequently to not discuss, to not deal, perhaps hoping that the problems are going to disappear on their own, which typically they do not. So again, I encourage you, if things are not working well in your marriage or in your relationship, or if there are issues in the bedroom, to be willing. And I know that it's not easy. It's not easy to sit down and have these kinds of honest conversations. And yet there are dire consequences if we do not deal with problems when problems actually surface. Another reason is a desire for variety. I often hear, I love my spouse, but I want variety. Number four, a surprise, unanticipated encounter that turns into an affair. It doesn't just turn into an affair. We make a decision. You can meet somebody, you can be attracted to somebody, and yet ultimately, it doesn't just turn into an affair on its own. We have to, as adults, we make decisions. We can be attracted to somebody and yet walk away from the attraction, reminding ourselves that we are in a committed relationship, whether it's a marriage or a committed partnership. So ultimately, these affairs, they just don't happen on their own. They happen because two people have made a decision, a conscious decision, that they are going to cheat on their partners. Number five, the question of, do I still have it? Do people still find me attractive? Do I still feel that I can attract other people? Which is, of course, the need for validation when someone other than my spouse may or may not be giving me the validation that I would love and need. And again, that's a conversation. That's a conversation that people need to have with each other. I need more attention from you. I need for you to touch me more. I need for you to compliment me more. You know, days and weeks and years go by, and sometimes we forget. Sometimes we are remiss. Sometimes we do forget that we need to behave in certain ways, if we're going to keep the sizzle going, if we're going to maintain and keep the connection working. And so much of this has to do with honest communication. Number six, and this is a tricky one. My spouse has a chronic illness or a terminal illness, and I need some emotional and physical intimacy that my spouse is truly, not because he or she doesn't want to, because he or she is unable because of a chronic or terminal illness to give me. And, you know, I've known people like that, and I've known people who have really, you know, they've had this inner battle with themselves about what to do, particularly if the chronic illness goes on and on and on and on for years. Number seven, retaliation. I am furious with my partner or spouse, and I want to punish him or her for having an affair. Number eight, sexual chemistry. Again, these are decisions that we have to make. It is not unusual to feel an attraction, a sexual attraction towards someone other than your partner and your spouse. But again, it boils down to you're making a decision about what you are going to do. Are you going to give in to the attraction? Or perhaps it's a conversation that you need to be having with your partner and your spouse about what the two of you can actually do to put the sizzle back into your relationship. And I'm not suggesting at all that any of this is easy. Number nine, consciously or unconsciously, affairs are a wake-up call that something is in the marriage or in the relationship. So then the issues become after the affair. Okay, you've found out that your partner is cheating on you. Question then becomes, should I stay or should I go? And my answer is, it depends. Because virtually every couple, and I have said this, you know, over the years, and I think that it hasn't really changed. Virtually every couple that I see contacts me for therapy because of infidelity. And the statistics are telling us that more and more women are engaging in extramarital affairs than in previous generations. And once the affair is discovered, and it usually is sooner or later, both partners will need to figure out what to do. What will the next steps be? They're going to need to ask themselves, do we still love each other? Will I ever be able to forgive? Should we get a divorce? Should we try and mend our marriage? Do I want to leave my marriage for my lover? And when couples choose to stay together or to divorce, expect that there are going to be lots and lots and lots of ups and downs, and people can learn over time to forgive. However, they will never forget. The couples that I work with are often able to acknowledge that their marriages have been coasting along for many years. And this is where the affairs are the wake-up calls that something is clearly amiss. And this is the message. This is, you know, I talk a lot about lessons to be learned and how important it is for all of us who are in committed relationships to really prioritize our marriages and our relationships. Everything else seems to easily, you know, get in the way. Our children's, our jobs, our tiredness, our schedules, our friends, money concerns, and the list goes on and on and on. And yet, if you think about in the beginning, when you were getting to know somebody, you and your partner, you really did prioritize your relationship and each other. Do you remember you send each other cards or little emails in the middle of the day? I'm just thinking about you and I can't wait to see you. And you really made an effort. We really make efforts in the beginning. And so easily over time, those efforts frequently, they really go by the wayside, and we pay a price. We pay a price as individuals, and we pay a price if we are part of a couple. And it's true. I mean, there is the reality, especially if you have children and careers and financial concerns, you know, coupled with day-to-day pressures. It is very, very easy for all of these issues truly to take over our lives. And herein, and it would be so wonderful to be able to really, you know, hear what you're thinking and to be able to have a conversation about this, because I believe that herein lies the lethal mistake that couples continue to make over and over and over again, and then wonder why are our relationships unhappy and not working. Because when you think about this, my friends, plants and flowers will die if they are not watered and tended to. And the same goes for our relationships and for our marriages. Well, here are some points that need to actually be pondered. And this is after an extramarital affair comes to the surface. Number one, and I think that that's what's really a telltale important question, probably the most important question that people need to ask yourself, is the couple sincerely interested in mending the marriage? You know, if the answer is yes. Number two, is the couple willing to work with a competent marital therapist? And as you've heard me say for years, all therapists are certainly not the same, who can help them to fully understand what happened. We need to understand what happened, how we got to a place in our relationships, in our marriage, where one or both partners went off track and made a conscious decision to have an extramarital affair. So again, to fully understand what happened and to be able to hear from both the husband, the wife, the partners, well, I started to feel lonely. We didn't have a sex life. You stopped sending me cards. We stopped talking. We'd come home from work and the television was on all the time, or the focus ended up being the children, and I felt alone, and I felt upset, and I felt angry and disappointed. So understanding what happened, what went wrong, is very, very important, even though we can't change our histories, okay? Number three, and this is a reality that mending a broken heart and a broken marriage is going to take some time. It is not going to happen overnight. So the real question for both partners is, are you willing to participate in a painful process? It is going to be painful, with the hope that your marriage can potentially be better and stronger than ever before. Now, I'm assuming, of course, that initially you decided to get married because you loved each other and that you had a good relationship. And as the weeks and the months and the years and the decades went by, obviously there are going to be changes. And as the changes occur, the smart couples, the smart people, are able to have ongoing dialogue about things that are changing and things that we actually need to do to keep our relationships and our marriages alive. I think that that's one of the things that frequently does not happen, certainly in the majority of situations that I see in my practice. Now, on the other hand, you may find yourself in a situation where either you or your spouse wants a divorce. And if that is the case, you need to find yourself a competent divorce attorney and listen to what I'm saying, who will help you to protect your interests in terms of custody, visitation, alimony, child support, and even hidden monies that you actually may be unaware of. Now, in over 20, I'm going to say 25 years, but in over 35 years, the vast majority of couples who have worked with me chose not to divorce. Rather, they made a decision. They made a conscious decision, despite the upsets and the ups and the downs and the pain and the anger and the disappointment, to put their time and energies into trying to resurrect their marriages. And the good news was that most were successful. In fact, many, many couples have told me that their marriages were happier and stronger and more sexually and emotionally satisfying and intimate after the affair. And this may be a bit of a surprise to you, but that has been my clinical experience. So, what are the lessons to be learned? What have we learned? What have you learned going through a painful, painful situation where you or your partner or you or your spouse had to deal with the realities of an extramarital affair? And that's the question that I'm always asking people, regardless of whether or not you've had an affair or whether or not you've had bankruptcy. What lessons have we learned? Lessons to be learned. So, number one, prioritize your marriage, prioritize your relationship, and don't allow all of these other extraneous things, including your children, to get in the way of making sure that your relationship continues to be a priority. And it does not take a lot of money for this to happen. Date nights where you can just take a walk and get away from your devices and your children and your worries and your upsets. To just take a walk into nature where you have an opportunity to talk and deal with some things that may be on your mind, that may be bothering you. And if you find that your own individual issues, and this is oftentimes what happens, be they emotional, psychological, psychiatric, physical, or sexual, are getting in the way of your life and your relationships, then that is the time to be willing to be honest with yourself and give yourself permission to seek help. Because a good relationship, a good marriage is dependent on two emotionally healthy individuals. Number four, I hope you're all taking notes. When problems arise, as they do in all marriages, in the best of relationships, in the best of marriages, we are going to have problems. We are going to have to deal with ups and downs. And what I hope that I can convince you of is don't bury them or deny and avoid tackling all of the different issues head on, pretending that they somehow are going to disappear on their own. That absolutely is magical thinking. It is not going to work. Number five, if you and your spouse are unable to successfully acknowledge, address, and resolve your problems on your own, please, please, please do not hesitate to reach out and ask for professional help. I mean, whoever said that relationships or marriage or partnerships were going to be easy? And they really rarely are. But this is where excellent communication and problem solving skills, and of course, a commitment to your relationship. These are the things that are going to ultimately determine whether or not your relationship is going to work or not. And, you know, when I'm doing some of the consulting at East Hampton High School, Jim Stewart, who is the head of the health department, who is my partner in crime, in my being in the school, I mean, we're continually trying to encourage the students and give them the skills, because communication and problem solving, I mean, these are skills that most of us have never learned in our own families of origin. These are the skills that really make or break relationships, whether or not we're talking about relationships, personal relationships, our business relationships, our work relationships. We really need to hone these skills if we are going to be able to have good partnerships and good relationships with all the people in our lives. So I'm hoping that you are going to be able to really take away something really, really important for yourself, whether or not you're in a relationship right now where you or your partner have had an extramarital affair. But if you and your partner are in a downward cycle where things have not been going well for a short period of time or a long period of time, I'd like to give you some homework. And I give my patients homework all the time. And of course, I expect that they are going to complete the assignments. So what about tonight? If things have been off for a while, your partner comes home or your spouse comes home and you have dinner and you say, darling, there are some things that I would like to discuss with you. And let's set a time. We're going to turn off the television and we're going to put away our devices and our cell phones and our computers and our iPads. And we are going to sit down and talk about some of the things that we may not have discussed or talked about for a very, very long period of time. And the way to begin a discussion like this is to say our relationships and my feelings about you, despite the fact we've had some problems, are still very, very strong. And I want us to be in a better place. And I was thinking about, you know, how this could happen and how this could come about is when we begin to tackle some of our problems and some of the things that we have been unable or unwilling to talk about in the past. And in my couples therapy, I have people actually write down all of their concerns so that each person is able to really build an agenda. And we don't go to agenda item number two until agenda item number one has been acknowledged and addressed and resolved as best as it possibly can. And this may be something that is really difficult to do on your own. I mean, I would definitely suggest, and I would definitely advise that you give it a shot, that you give it a try. But if you're finding that your conversations are really not productive and that they're really not going anywhere, this is where, again, I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend that you reach out and ask for really good professional help. Maybe you want to talk to your priest or your minister or your rabbi. I mean, all of these people have had some counseling background. You know, I'm sure some have had better backgrounds and have had better training than others. And if I can be of any help, either in making a referral, or perhaps you'd like to work with me. Again, it's always about just not letting the issues just continue to worsen. And the issues are not going to get better typically on their own unless we are willing to deal with them, unless we are willing to communicate, unless we are willing to try to problem solve. And people will say to me all the time, you know, what is involved if we're talking about really effective communication? Well, of course, the first thing we need to do is to put our issues on the table. We need to be able to discuss and to listen and to hear what our partner has to say, because this is not going to be a monologue. I mean, you know, people can go on and on and on and talk about their upsets and their disappointments and their sadness and their anger. But what's really important is that we listen and we hear, and that we're open to hearing what our partner has to say. What is their, what is his or her perspective on why we are not in a good place as a couple? And then compromise. How many people these days are really willing to compromise? We have such black, white, and I'm not talking about race, you know, ways of thinking, all or nothing thinking. And yet in good relationships, not only do we need to discuss, we need to be willing to make some compromises and trade-offs, with the goal being, this is not about winning. This is not about a tennis match. This is not about winning a game. This is about coming to a place with someone who you used to love, and hopefully someone who you still love, where the goal is to find a win-win resolution to your particular problems. And that needs to be the goal. We're not looking to have you win and have your partner lose. We're having to see whether or not the two of you as a couple can work together on your various different issues and difficulties to come up with a viable situation. It's not going to be perfect. It's going to be good enough where both of you feel that you're coming out of the discussions where you both won, where it is win-win. And happy couples and successful couples understand the importance of discussion, compromise, trade-offs that lead to a win-win resolution. You know, I'm looking at all of the other topics that I wanted to talk with you about today. I can't believe how quickly, really, it's amazing how quickly the time goes here. An hour goes by very, very quickly during the Ask Beauty Show. You know, I'm looking at something here that I wrote for Valentine's Day, and it was tips for Valentine's Day and every day. Again, the importance of keeping the couple at the top of the list of priorities and not just on Valentine's Day or on special occasions. You know, number two, treasuring your relationship. It's precious. It's precious, and it requires attention, just like the plants that need to be watered. Number three, don't take each other for granted. It is the little things that make all the difference in the world. The surprise card or flower. Just because I love you, it does wonders and it does not have to cost any money. Number four, keep the romance and the sex alive. It happens to be really important. Number five, make dates and remember to keep them. Number six, when issues arise, deal with them immediately and don't let your laundry list of complaints get out of hand. So, everybody, I'm going to leave you with my two weekly messages. And the first, of course, is to do everything that you can possibly do that ensures that you are living your life in ways that are in your best interest. And again, we spent so much time talking about partnerships today and affairs. And make sure, really make sure that you do prioritize not only yourself, but your relationships as well. And number two, given the craziness in the world today and the divisiveness in the world today, we really all need to make a commitment to do everything that we possibly can to love each other a lot better than we seem to have been able to do in recent years. So you want to make sure that you are going to love yourself and do everything possible to love each other. And in this way, we are going to have happier personal lives and happier lives as a society as well. So I hope this has been a educational and also a fun show. And I look forward to speak with you next week and every Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Ask Beauty Show on the Progressive Radio Network. So have a good rest of the day, everybody, and a good week. And I will talk with you next week. Bye-bye.